Okay, ready to go. Sorry we got a late start. This was between George and Caroline and I. We were struggling with technical problems and didn't finally get me on until 2 minutes before. So I'm going to enjoy sitting with everyone. And there's no one to blame except for the computers behind. So here we are. Invite you to come into the moment as I am. Feel your connection to the earth as you do, this marvelous home that we share. Feel a virtual connection to all of these people from all parts of the world sharing this moment, sharing the Dharma together. We're in community now, and just get a sense of that, of Sangha, Sangha live. Feel a connection to this mind-body process called you, as life expresses itself through this form. And if you can feel that with an appreciative awareness, you are alive. Life is manifesting through you, and just settling into that. Take a few deeper breaths and breathe in a calming energy that fills you with ease. Filling your whole body. And as you exhale, let go. Go of anything that you don't need. And then let the breath find its own natural rhythm. And know that you're sitting here, or whatever posture you're in, alive. Breathing. This is your connection to life. And then let the awareness open to whatever your experience is, whether it's the breath coming and going, or other sensations in the body coming and going, sounds coming and going, silence when it's here, whatever feelings, emotions, all coming and going, thoughts coming and going, all coming and going, arising and vanishing, and can be received and allowed with a kind and interested, appreciative awareness. We're practicing the gladness of the wholesome today, and you can start with appreciation that you're here, aware. There's an awareness moving through you, and simply open to whatever is here, one moment at a time, with kindness, interest, and presence. If you find that your mind has wandered off, no problem, no judgment. It's just what minds do. When you realize that, appreciate you're back here in the present moment and let the return be done with appreciation and begin once again.
Notice what's happening right now, in this moment of your experience, open to it with kindness and interest. Let yourself come out gently, mindfully. Set up here. So, welcome everyone once again. I hope that you could settle in and feel a sense of Sangha as we sit together, even in this virtual way. I'm speaking from Berkeley, California, and where it's been raining a lot in the last week or two, and much needed, and everything in moderation, because there's also some floods and all, but that's my reality. I hope whatever your reality is, you can appreciate that you're alive to experience it. So I'm going to talk a bit for a while on the topic of the Buddha's teaching on the gladness of the wholesome, which is the basis for my course that Caroline mentioned, that I wrote a book called Awakening Joy and teach a course, Awakening Joy, which is really a stealth dharma made accessible to apply the teachings in a very positive way. So I want to talk about the Buddhist source of this. Why joy? The Buddha was brilliant, and of course that we all can appreciate that, I think, in his saying that one needs to come to terms with suffering. You're probably familiar with the Four Noble Truths. There is suffering in life. There's a cause of suffering. There's an end to suffering, and there's a path leading to the end of suffering, the Four Noble Truths. And he said, if one can understand and somehow have a wise relationship to suffering, that one comes to the end of suffering. And in that, there are brilliant teachings about how to do that. When I first heard those teachings and hearing that there's a possibility to get out of suffering, or at least not be run by my confused mind, I was so excited, and I said, I'm going for it. And I had what was called a long honeymoon period, where everybody around, I just wanted to tell them the good news. At some point, as can happen, I became very serious about my practice. As I sometimes say, dead serious about my practice, with the emphasis on the dead part. And I lost my joy. And somehow the teachings turned into some kind of a warning. Don't let yourself appreciate and enjoy life. And I was misunderstanding these teachings, because my understanding is that this is not, that the Buddha did not say to not appreciate life, but it can be misconstrued. And I became very serious, and I said, I lost my joy. And I want to share with you a passage I love from Ajahn Sumedho, the senior Western monastic from Ajahn Chah's community. He writes about this. He says, sometimes in Theravada Buddhism,
This is the Buddhist teachings that I learned and I'm so grateful for, based on the Pali Canon that's taught in Burma, Thailand, Sri Lanka, and now throughout the world. Sometimes in Theravada Buddhism, one gets the impression that you shouldn't enjoy beauty. If you see a beautiful flower, you should contemplate its decay. Or if you see a beautiful woman, you should contemplate her as a rotting corpse. This has a certain value on one level, but it's not a fixed position to take. It's not that we should just feel compelled to reject beauty and dwell on its impermanence and on how it changes to being not so beautiful and then downright repulsive. That's a good reflection on anicca, dukkha, and anatta, impermanence, unsatisfactoriness, and the selfless nature of experience. But it can leave the impression that beauty is only to be reflected on in terms of these three characteristics rather than in terms of the experience of beauty. People who can't see the beauty of the good or the true are really bitter and mean. They live in an ugly realm where there is no rejoicing in beauty and goodness and truth. But once you have true insight, then you find that you enjoy and delight in the beauty and the goodness of things. Truth, beauty, and goodness delight us. In them, we find joy. So, as he said, and as I misunderstood, we can take the teachings to reject the beautiful and the good because we're afraid of getting attached to it. And for a while, as I lost my joy, I had a crisis of faith, really. Fortunately, instead of turning my back on the teachings, I wanted to look more deeply and say, what did the Buddha say about happiness and well-being? The Buddha was called the happy one. He wasn't called the suffering one. The Dalai Lama, one of the most inspiring embodiments of Buddhist teachings, wrote a book on joy with Desmond Tutu, and he wrote The Art of Happiness. He starts out that book, The Art of Happiness, with this line: the purpose of life is to be happy. The purpose of life is to be happy. That's a radical statement, because what he's saying is if you can experience true well-being, then all of the beautiful qualities that are part of your true nature shine through, and they feel good for you on the way out, and they benefit everybody who meets you. So I wanted to take a look and see, okay, well, what did the Buddha say about accessing joy and happiness besides the quiet that one can experience on the cushion or in deep states of concentration? And I saw that there are many instances and beautiful teachings around happiness and well-being. And there are many flavors of joy. Joy is, as perhaps you know, one of the seven factors of enlightenment. Joy is one of the five jhana factors. And there are many other flavors spoken of in the teachings. Piti, usually translated as bliss, or rapture. Sukha, happiness. Pamoja, gladness. Santuti, contentment. Peace is shanti. Pasadi, calm. So all of these, the Buddha says, are very wholesome states. I just call it awakening joy because it's a very evocative word, but you might find that that word has create some resistance within you, skipping through a field of daisies with a smile on your face. So when I talk about joy, I say, think of whatever word resonates for you as far as well-being goes. And in fact, maybe we can just put in the chat box for a moment, what word works for you when I speak of joy or well-being? So go ahead, you can put something in the box. Does joy do it for you? Or is there resistance and maybe some other word does it better? So is the box open now, the chat box? Gladness, happiness, oh, love, joy of love, equanimity, yes, delight, joy totally works, grace. Look at all of these. There's so many different ways that this well-being is expressed. And so this is what we're going for, what the Buddha called wholesome states. So I want to talk a bit about the Buddha's teaching about this accessing wholesome states. And for me, when I looked and I said, okay, what did he say about well-being? I first turned to the teaching on wise effort, which is one of the links in the Eightfold Noble Path. Wise effort, besides being a balanced effort and the effort to be mindful, technically, there are four aspects to wise effort. One is the effort to guard against unwholesome states. Akusala, A-K-U-S-A-L-A, akusala, are unwholesome states, states like greed, hatred, delusion, envy, fear, judgment. All of those states are states of suffering, and they not only feel bad in the moment or feel unpleasant in the moment, but they lead to further suffering when one gets caught in them. So he says, guard against those unwholesome states or unhealthy states, akusala. And when they arise, they're just part of being human, learn how to overcome them. Those are the first two aspects of wise effort. The second half of the equation is about cultivating wholesome states. And wholesome states or healthy states are states of well-being. States like kindness, generosity, compassion, equanimity, peace, patience. All of these are called kusala, wholesome states. And he says, cultivate these states when they're here. Cultivate them before they are here. So you have a mindfulness practice or a loving kindness practice. You're trying to cultivate these states. That's the third wise effort. And the fourth one is when a wholesome state arises, he says, maintain and increase that wholesome state if you can. And this fourth one doesn't get a lot of airplay when the teachings are presented. Maintain and increase wholesome state. So your mind says, oh, how do I increase it? Oh, does that mean I try to hold on to it? No, because all unwholesome states are states of contraction and all wholesome states are states of expansion. So if you try to hold on to a wholesome state, you have just turned it into an unwholesome state because it's a state of contraction. So rather than being attached or trying to hold on, how do you maintain and increase a wholesome state? By being very present for it. And in one discourse, Majjhima Nikaya number 99, he gives the example of the wholesome state of generosity. He says, when you are experiencing, when you are in a moment of generosity, to think to yourself, oh, I'm being generous now. Think, I'm being generous. This is his advice. Not, oh, look at how wonderful I am because generosity is here, and look at how what a generous person I am, but rather how good it feels for generosity to arise through me. He says, pay attention to that. And in that paying attention, you experience what he calls the gladness that is connected with the wholesome. That feeling of uplift when you are in the middle of a wholesome state. So, and he says these further words in that discourse, that gladness connected with the wholesome, I call an equipment of mind to overcome all ill will and hostility. One gains inspiration in the meaning, inspiration in the Dhamma. One gladdens the heart when you feel that gladness. How do you feel that gladness? By being very present for it. So I ask you, for instance, to reflect on something that brings you joy. Okay? Close your eyes for a moment. Whatever it is, it can be your dog. I just see somebody put that in the chat box. Or it can be your children, or it can be dancing, or it can be eating a peach, or it can be whatever it is, sitting in quiet. What brings you joy? Maybe we can take a few moments before we go on and put it in the chat box. What brings you joy? You can open your eyes. This is part one of this little exercise. What brings you joy? I know you're out there. Laughter of my children, yes. My pets, yes. Other things. If it's named, see if you write something new. What brings you joy? Nature, yes. That does it for me too. Being in the ocean's warm waters, Christmas tree, horseback riding, walking in nature. Yes, time to sit still and read. Yeah, being present without anxiety, music that brings others joy, song of the birds. Yeah, all of these things, life itself. Yes, beautiful, winter swimming. Bird song. Okay, now, all right, we can just stop the chat for a moment. Well, this is still going on. And I invite you to go inside once again and tune into whatever it was that came to your mind. And as you think about it, notice how it feels in the recollection of that activity, being with your grandson, being out in nature. What does it feel like in your body?
or in your mind and in your heart? Could you describe it besides, oh, it feels good?
Okay, so now, once again, let's put it in the chat box. What does it feel like? Could you describe it? Besides the activity, describe what it feels like. Can you name it? Warm and comforting. Feeling a connection to others. Smells like pine. Beautiful. I feel more alive. It feels light, uplift, ease. Open, safe, warm, expansive, core to truth. Exciting, sunshine, chest opens, breath fills me. Warm, unfettered joy. An endorphin rush. Warmth in my chest. Beautiful. So this is what you're pointing out. Just what I'm saying is that these states of well-being are expansive and opening. States of contraction are those states of suffering. When you're frightened or you're angry, there's a tightness and a contraction in the mind, in the body, in the heart. And so the key to the gladness, feeling the gladness of the wholesome, is being very present for it. It's one thing to know, oh, I'm feeling pretty good now. It's a whole other to know, oh, this is what it feels like to feel good, warm, expansive, release, relaxed, delight, alive. And when you pay attention to that, not just cognitively saying, yeah, this feels really good, but oh, this is what it feels like to feel good. There's a whole other dimension of connecting with that ease and that joy and that well-being. Neuroscience has said that when you pay attention to a wholesome state, you are deepening its impression within you. My friend Rick Hansen, probably many of you know, a dear friend, he says, our brains are wired up to be Teflon for the good and Velcro for the negative. So we glom on and we take that in. And by practice, you can turn that around to be Velcro for the good and Teflon for the negative. That takes practice. And this leads me to the third principle of the Buddha's teachings. The first one, wholesome states, know what is where real happiness lies. Second, feeling that gladness connected with the wholesome. And the third, as the Buddha says, it's in Majjhima Nikaya number 19, he says, whatever one frequently thinks and ponders upon, that will become the inclination of their mind. Neuroscience puts it this way. Neurons that fire together, wire together. So it's all about habits of mind. Mostly we are tuned into seeing the danger because we're wired up, that almond-shaped cluster of neurons in our brain called the amygdala, which is a survival mechanism, is on the lookout for what can go wrong. And it's more likely that, especially when we're stressed, that we're looking for what could go wrong, while it takes some practice to look for what can go right. As Thich Nhat Hanh says, oh, instead of noticing what's wrong, have your practice noticing, oh, what's not wrong? Last week I had a toothache. I don't have a toothache right now. How wonderful that is. So this is the key to notice when things are right and to be very present for them. And this is where mindfulness comes in, because mindfulness of all the different wholesome states, there are a number of wholesome states, of all the different mental factors, there are 52 mental factors. Mindfulness has a unique property in that it weakens unwholesome states. When you apply mindfulness to anger, you create some space where you're not identified with it and you reduce it. And it cultivates wholesome states. And when a wholesome state is here, when you're mindful, it actually amplifies the wholesome state. So what I did with my course was cultivate from the teachings 10 different wholesome states in the teachings and put them in a sequence that makes sense to me and cultivate them and learn to be very present when they arise. And for instance, we only have a few minutes left in the talk part, but I want to share with you just a little exercise on cultivating a wholesome state and noticing what happens when you're really present for it. So you can stop with the, put down the chat box for a moment, and let's just do this together. I invite you, if you would, to close your eyes and think of a blessing in your life, something that you're really grateful for, someone that you're grateful to, or something that you're grateful for. And call up an image of that blessing. Because when you have an image, just like with metta practice, when you have an image, it becomes that much more vivid. So call up an image of that person or that situation. Maybe see them smiling back at you or just appreciating life. And then give a silent thank you right from your heart. Thank you, either to that person or to life. And as you say that thank you, now bring your mindful attention to feel that thank you in your body. Notice how good it feels. Feel the gladness of this wholesome state. Just relax into it. Thank you. And take a nice deep breath. And now bring a second blessing, someone else or some other fortunate thing in your life. Again, call up an image, that person, that circumstance. And as you have an image, again, a silent, very sincere thank you. Thank you for being in my life. Thank you, life. And then just relax and enjoy that feeling. Just be present for it. Don't miss it. Marinate in it. Thank you. One last time, take a nice breath. We do things in threes in Buddhism. Call up one last blessing. Someone, something that you're grateful for, grateful to.
invite an image. A simple thank you right from your heart. Thank you. And then just relax and enjoy that feeling of gratitude. So I hope you get a sense of the possibilities of awakening the gladness, awakening the wholesome, cultivating it, and just relaxing with mindful attention into that feeling of gladness, the gladness of the wholesome, as the Buddha points out. And I'll just mention, we'll open it up to questions in a moment. I'll just mention that a key is to keep looking for the good in your life. You will notice the stuff that's not good. That's okay. I'm not saying pretend that it's not there. And people who are truly happy are not happy all the time. They feel their sorrow. They feel their sadness. They feel their loss. But they don't get overwhelmed and get stuck there. And when there's a feeling of well-being, they don't miss it. And they open to it with presence. And so to keep on looking for the good, and when it's here, don't miss it. Just let yourself relax in it. And as I say, in that course, we go through 10 wholesome states over the course of a 5-month period. I invite you to do it. I'll just, before opening it up, I'll just say a little bit about Dana for Sangha Live. This is all run on Dana, and you can see the Dana button at the bottom of the screen, and part of that goes to me. So I'm very grateful for that. That's how I've been teaching for all of these years, for 40 years now. And also want to invite you to join the Joy Course, which starts actually in a couple of weeks. And Jorge, I don't know if you can put it in. There's a discount that I'm extending to people from Sangha Live. You can just go to Awakening Joy and see about the course. There's two things. Here's the link you have to go to. Is that other link about that Thinkific when you sign up? Because it's a little tricky. Okay, so you go to that, and you go to that that smaller. You can copy it if you can. Smaller URL, and then it'll open you up on the right side of the page. It'll say have a coupon, and if you enter Sangha Live 249, you will get to you'll get a big discount on doing the course. No one is turned away, by the way. So you can offer whatever you want if that discount doesn't work for you. I've had a policy as long as I've been teaching this course that people can offer whatever they want. So with that, I'd like to open it up for some questions or some comments and some conversation. And perhaps if there's a way to open so that I can be on live with people, I don't know how you do that. Caroline, could you let people know how they do that if they want to ask a question or
chat live. If anyone would like to come on screen, please let me know here in the chat. So I'd love, this for me is as fun a part as what I have to share. We can be in a conversation together. So come on if you've got something to say. Great. Jane, come on. I think it takes a few moments before you're allowed to come on. Okay, and invite you on. Okay. Hopefully you can come on soon. Is it happening? Looks like I can't invite anyone on, unfortunately. So Jane, if you could, I think there's a question for you in the Q&A. Ah, okay, great. I forgot about the Q&A. All right, could James please repeat the name of the person he quoted who spoke of getting the impression that we shouldn't enjoy the beauty in Theravada? Can I just chat in there and start answering? Okay, so let's see. I don't know if I can answer, but it's, I can type it in. But it's Ajahn Sumedho. I'm typing it in now and seeing if anything comes through. Does it? Oh, good. Ajahn Sumedho, he has a book. He has many books. He was Ajahn Chah's main Dharma heir and started Amaravati and all the various monasteries. And in his book, The Way It Is, he has a chapter in there towards the end called The Shining Through of the Divine. And it's right in there. Okay, another question. Please speak to joy that comes from the egoic life and that comes from the soul life. Perhaps speak to shallow versus true nature, mystical and spiritual, and Jesus biblical. Yeah, well, I'm glad you asked that question. There is a big difference between the pleasure that comes through in our worldly pleasures and that one that comes through from a deeper kind of wholesome state. And I'll share with this. I didn't know if I'd have chance for this, but this is an ad that I was going to show. I'm showing now, called The Gold Shivers. Beautiful woman draped in gold, very happy. And this is the ad. The gold shivers, that electric excitement, that thrilling warmth. Every new piece of gold jewelry ignites it once again. Nothing makes you feel as good as gold. It's a two-page ad. I'll read the other page. What is the real substance of a new piece of gold jewelry? Emotion, pure and powerful. From the first small shiver of excitement when a shimmering necklace of gold beads catches a woman's eye, to the great shivers of delight when the coveted object actually becomes hers. Among life's pleasures, count this deeply felt euphoria as unique. The only way to get the gold shivers is by getting the gold. Brilliant, isn't it? You might not even care about jewelry, but you see that and say, oh, I'd like a little bit of that too. or you say, "Oh yeah, that I'm an educated consumer. That doesn't go for me." It gets in there. That's why Coca-Cola will pay millions for 30 seconds of your time so that you can get that hit going into your neural pathways that says, "Oh, Coke, happiness in a bottle." It works. That's where men don't feel quite adequate unless they have a six-pack of abs, or they're strong, or they've got a lot of money in the bank account, because that's what success is. Or women and supermodels don't think they're thin enough because of those messages they get through. And those are all about wanting. The second noble truth, the cause of wanting, is attachment. And the Buddha said, this is the prescription for suffering. And he said, instead of what about me, it's that wholesomeness of expansion that's the true happiness. The wholesomeness of connection, of love, of contentment and ease, of a concentrated mind, of a mind of equanimity that's here for all experience. That's what those wholesome states are about. That's why it's so key to see where happiness really lies, not in things, but in us. And it's in us. We don't have to manufacture it. That's how we come into this world. Okay, I don't know if there was somebody else that wanted to come on or was able to come on. Let's see. Oh, I hear more questions. I'm realizing. I think joy comes recognizing the joy in our struggles. What are your thoughts? Absolutely. Then one of the 10 themes of wholesome states is learning how to open up to the difficult. And the Buddha, in one of his beautiful teachings that's not so well known, you can Google transcendental dependent arising. The Buddha says that suffering can lead to faith. Faith can lead to gladness, can lead to happiness, can lead to contentment, all the way to enlightenment. He says, if we know how to work with our suffering, then we find that we have the capacities inside to overcome suffering. So that's where mindfulness comes in. That's where self-compassion comes in. That's where compassion for all the suffering comes in. That it's one thing, that's the other side of the wise effort equation, when an unwholesome state arises, to learn how to overcome it through skillful means. And when you realize, when you can hold your compassion, hold your suffering with compassion and tenderness, that is a tenderizing the heart that can lead to true well-being. Okay, I hope that's useful. What's the best way to make joy part of your practice? That is just what I'm saying, to practice cultivating wholesome states, not missing them when they're here, and to just let yourself rest in them. This is what he said, the gladness of the wholesome. So whether I'll mention a few wholesome states that, for instance, we do in I teach in the course that are right out of the teachings. sila, integrity. Whenever you are acting in a skillful way and you have a choice to go high or go low, as Michelle Obama used to say, when you go high, notice how good that feels. Oh, I'm acting in a skillful way right now. Or when you are feeling kindness towards someone or generosity, don't miss it. It's there. We just usually gloss over it. Or when you're seeing all the beauty and the good inside, don't miss it. Rick Hansen has a good formula. He says, when you are in the middle of a state of well-being, he advises, if you can mindfully feel it for 15 seconds, you know, it can be a very quiet, you don't have to say, excuse me, I'm doing my joy homework right now, to just know, this feels good and feel it inside. He says, if you can do that 6 times in a day, that's 90 seconds of well-being if you can handle it. If you do that over a 2-week period, you're going to notice a difference, both because you're deepening the neuron pathways to well-being, and you're starting to be on the lookout for the good. So any one of those wholesome states, compassion is another one, letting go, the joy of letting go, all of those, but it takes practice. Okay, here's some more questions. Sorry, we can't see you live, but we'll just do it this way. I've been struggling with a lot of fear about not finding an apartment, and it is making me feel desperate almost every day. How can I bring joy instead of fear, please? Thank you, Veronique. It might be, first, almost too much of a stretch to say, okay, let me feel joyful now. So first, I would say, start with holding your fear with a lot of tenderness, and learn to come into the moment, grounding yourself, and to not get lost in the spin cycle of the thoughts. What if? Because fear is always about the future. And so to come back to the present moment, this present moment right now, I'm alive, and there's fear here, and I can hold it with a kind awareness. Okay. That creates at least a little bit of a way to process and move down from that hypervigilance. And then you can think a bit more clearly, and you can have supportive clarity and wisdom, and looking at all the people that are there supporting you. How do I find an apartment for me? And take all the help you can get, but not to get caught in the spin cycle. And in that, know you will probably survive. You are not going to be out on the street. Somebody, friends will probably take you in until you find the right place, and keep on looking for the good, because then you can start to see it when it's here. Okay. So it says, thank you. I hope that's helpful, Veronique. It says, people on stage, if you allow people to raise hands, open stage. Can I open stage? Now, I don't know if I'm doing this the right way, but if you want to come on, are the all these people wanting to come on? No, this is everybody. So I think I have to get back to the chat. So no, I have to get to the... Well,
I think I'll just, three users want to come on stage. More stay in the people's tab. Ah, okay, people's tab. Well, I don't know what to do. Invite, let's see, if it's invite to the main stage. Is this it, Larry? I don't know their names. Is it, somebody coming on? Oh, Jane, you made it. I don't know quite how to do this. So now there's eight, there's four people, but I don't know who they are. So I think I just need to go back to.
I'm here.
Oh, you are? Okay. Great. Can I see your camera? Can you put on camera, or is that available?
I did do that, and it didn't let that happen. Can we fix that? What do I do?
Well, just why don't you just ask until it comes in.
I just want to thank you. I'm the one that asked about struggling, and really can bring about incredible joy. So my addition to that is part of cultivating joy is the way in which we look at life and the way in which we look at struggles and seeing the taking in being curious. What can I learn from this? What can I get from this? And how can I, this is something positive. So I just wanted to hear your views on that, because I think for me, I faced my mortality when I was very young, and it transformed my life regarding how I experience every moment. And I just want to share that and say that I think your lecture, your presentation is wonderful. Mm-hmm. And I thank you, because every moment is such a gift in our lives. Mm-hmm. And to really hold on to that, mm-hmm. and embrace that, can be so healing, whether it's because you're dealing with the struggles of the world or the struggles of your own life.
Mm-hmm.
You can see positives. I'll stop.
Thank you. Thank you very much. I'm right with you. And what you're saying is so, so key. It's all how you're relating to experience. Reality is reality, and we have a choice to either wish things were different and get stuck in contraction, or open to it and see, how can I grow from this? What is the lesson that life is giving me? And how can I be curious? Investigation is one of the seven factors of enlightenment. And that is the key. So thank you, Jane. Okay, I think we'll continue, since I can't. I don't see how to do the others. If I knew the name, I can maybe select you, but there's a whole lot of names. So I'm going to go back to the Q&A, unless Caroline or George can help me. Tamar, is that, are you on? Tamar, let's see. Roll. No. Oh. I didn't want to do that. Tamar, speaker. Can I do it like this? And save. Let's just try this. Are you there, Tamar? If not, I'll just start answering your question. I often find it hard to allow joy when I'm overwhelmed by the amount of suffering in the world. Yes. Do you have a suggestion how to deal with that, or accept that, or accept that there is so much suffering? Yes. That is a key. And we'll get to, we'll, oh, it's you. Oh, great. This Hi. Is you. Oh, wonderful.
Yeah,
Hi.
Thank you.
Yes, and I'm right with you. For me,
engagement in the world is key. If that's not part of your practice, then you're sleepwalking through life. And climate for me is one of my main issues, and I'm somewhat active in that and organize climate days. And you know, my heart can break for it, but if it breaks and I just feel doomed, or if I'm just going around in gloom and doom and feeling overwhelmed by suffering, I'm just adding to more suffering. Yeah. But along with the suffering, there's so much goodness. And I'm glad you asked. I'm pulling up a quote that I have in my book, Awakening Joy, by Howard Zinn, who wrote, he's a historian. He wrote The People's History of the United States, the unvarnished history. Very realistic, but this is what he says. He says, an optimist isn't necessarily a blithe, slightly sappy whistler in the dark of our time. To be hopeful in bad times is not just foolishly romantic. It's based on the fact that human history is a history not only of cruelty, but also of compassion, sacrifice, courage, and kindness. What we choose to emphasize in this complex history will determine our lives. If we see only the worst, it destroys our capacity to do something. But if we remember those times and places, and there are so many, where people have behaved magnificently, this gives us energy to act, and at least the possibility of sending the spinning top of a world in a different direction. So you can't just focus on all that's bad. You need to remember there is, I think, a whole lot more goodness than nastiness in this world. And we can, that's why we need each other to remember that. Right. And the image that I have is of Kuan Yin. You've probably seen the image of Kuan Yin in her relaxed posture, where she sees and hears the cries of the world and is ready to respond, but she's balanced with equanimity. Mm-hmm. And that is the task of people who care so much, to find the balance and equanimity that says, yes, there is suffering in life. It's the first noble truth. And my response, coming from caring and goodness, has to be a skillful one, not out of fear and despair, but out of love of life. Then that's contagious. So good luck with that.
Thank you. Thank you. Very moving. It's very moving.
Nice to be with you, Tamar.
Thank you, James.
Okay, it's about time for us to go. Again, I want to remind you that this operates on Donna. So please give to Sangha Live. I get something from that Donna, and it's gratefully appreciated. And if you want to be on and join the Joy Course, maybe that can be put in the chat box once again for people to get that discount, whatever it is. Sangha Live, let's see, Awakening Joy. Go to Awakening Joy and put in that that code. And if you didn't get it, oh, there it is. Sangha Live, but you have to go to that Thinkific. If you don't get it, you can write to admin@awakeningjoy.com. Sorry, admin@awakeningjoy.info, and we'll hook you up. There it is. Go to that. Here we go. Go to that website, that bit.ly website URL, and then have a coupon put in SanghaLive249. Okay, so thank you, Caroline. Thank you, George. Thank you, everyone. And we can just dedicate our time here for the benefit of all. May all feel the goodness of our coming together, and we can wrap our merit into one great big ball and share it with all beings. May all come to the highest happiness and peace. Thank you, everyone. Be well.